Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
And once again, we've got Scott the Goo Guthrie here to tell us all about some cool tool stuff that just released. We will get to that in a bit. First, we're going to cover some news. And of course, as always, we'll wrap up with a tip of the week that's all about subscriptions and credentials. And
it's all related to the feature, too.
Yeah, so. It's related.
Yep.
So what do we have in the news, Wade?
All right, we got this guy here, Mr. Steve Marks, using Scala in the Play framework in Windows Azure.
Yes.
Maybe you can share some info on
I thought it wasn't enough of a challenge to learn a brand new programming language. I also wanted to learn a brand new framework for developing web apps at the same time. So I put together this app actually for the DevOps conference.
Yep, which is going on this week.
By the time you guys see this, will be over. But it was just happening in Belgium, and it's a Java conference. And we had a booth there, and we're talking about Windows Azure. And so I put together a little demo that was a scheduled browser for the conference. And it runs on Scala and Play Framework. You can click the devox.cloudapp.net link.
There we go.
And that will pull up something. And that's the app. It's pretty simple and straightforward, but I just wanted to try something that I hadn't done before and have something to show at the booth that was that might surprise people a little bit with the flexibility of Windows Azure. So put that together, and the whole source code is on GitHub, and so if people just want to see something a little different, that's, I think for our core audience, this is probably going to look as cryptic to you as it did to me, but Scala and the Play Framework.
That's great.
Which, by the way, the Play Framework credits ASP.NET Razor as the inspiration for their Vue theme and whatever, which was actually really great to see. And it is, they did a fairly good job of doing a similar kind of thing. So it's easy for me to learn because it's similar to Razor.
Good.
So just out there is something kind of cool. You can go get the source code and build it and run it yourself. It takes a few setup steps of getting Java and Play all set up and whatever. So not for the faint of heart, but if you just want to browse it, the code's there.
Great. Excellent. All right, so next news item was, we've talked about the phone and Windows Azure NuGet packages in the past. We've shown some examples. Essentially, we've gone and released a whole bunch of these. So we've got client resources for the NuGet packages for Windows Phone. So basically, very easily manage your dependencies for building a phone app that leverages assets in Windows Azure. So everything from getting the base page and capability set up for the access control service. So how do you take the simple web token and parse it and do something with it to simple membership. So if you just want to use an ASP.NET membership store from the phone side and username password to notifications and so forth. So all that's available for the phone. And then on the server side, so the services that you'll be running in Windows Azure, there's also a set of NuGet packages as well. So again, handling the membership and access control for identity. We've got a bunch of base libraries that just wrap some very common functionality. And then also handling all the push notification channel URIs storage in Windows Azure. So both in Windows Azure storage and SQL Azure. So basically it's a reference for all the resources that are available. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. People like this NuGet approach. It's it's clean, it's easy, it's composable, and NuGet is great at managing dependencies.
It's way easier than getting a full set of sample. The way we used to package this up was you grab the whole thing and then you probably took pieces out or whatever.
Which is challenging. It's hard to pull out just one thing from a big
NuGet
sample.
Means you get the dependency chain is there and whatever, so you pick the piece you want, you get just that stuff and whatever. It is it's
and what's really nice about it from our perspective too is releasing updates is so much easier because we can version a new NuGet package, release it, and then essentially you can pull it down, you'll get notified. It makes it really nice for us to handle fixes, enhanced capabilities and so forth. So
very cool.
Check that out. The David Aiken.
The David Aiken.
So this post is kind of fun because we held an event here a week or so ago, and one of the attendees, they actually had a support issue and a support incident that occurred while we were here. And so I was trying to get some support and help. Unfortunately, David Aiken was here in the house. He was able to help out. He knows all the support people. We were able to escalate it. It turned out not to be a Windows Azure issue. And so out of this, and this happens pretty often, David gets involved in these escalation issues, and it turns out to be something that's actually happened in the code that someone has deployed to Windows Azure. And so he took the time to put together a post where he outlined 10 basic steps, like before you contact support or before you go create, you know, take a look at these things, because it's very likely that, you know, going through these things, you'll discover what's actually going on. So he talks about, you know, diagnostic information, making sure that you have your storage account in the same data center as your compute, like a bunch of little things that you'd yep. think people would be aware of or should be considering, but just
it's
reinforcing
a good checklist
it.
Sort of thing.
It is. To go through. And it's yeah. probably, I mean, it's interesting to point out there's some cryptic.
Yeah. This is how we're going to figure this out. We're just going to set all the viewers of Cloud Cover on this. There's some weird string at the end of David's post.
Yeah, we don't really know what it is.
Either means his cat fell asleep on the keyboard before he hit publish, or more likely, I think, it's some sort of code.
Yeah, well, he sent me cryptic. An email and said, did you figure it out yet? And yeah. I haven't replied because...
Although that would be really cool if he just typed a random string and then sent you mail and said, did you figure it out? But if anyone recognizes that, it doesn't look like any sort of... particular encoding I'm aware of.
Yeah.
If anybody knows what it is, definitely let us know.
That would be great. We'll call it out on next week's show.
We will, yes.
So. It's management cert.
It's management cert, yeah.
That's probably it.
Just inviting people to figure it out. So. All right. And really...
finally, the big news.
Yeah, getting to what the feature of the day is we had a release earlier this week.
We did.
So, 1.6 SDK.
Yeah.
So a lot of great stuff.
The November SDK.
November SDK.
With a bunch of things, and we've got Scott here to talk about some parts of this. We should probably call out some of the things that Scott's probably not going to touch on, but are part of this thing, mm-hmm. which is one of the things is there's the HPC scheduler.
The Windows Azure HPC scheduler allows you to have the scheduler running fully up in Windows Azure rather than having the head node running on premises bursting to Windows Azure. Yep. So it's a pretty big improvement. Wenming is building a bunch of resources to dig into this. So I'd expect within the next week or so we'll actually have resources that if you're interested in digging into this further that you'll be able to take a look at.
What else? We sort of the libraries are an interesting thing to sort of to mention. I think is that here. So Windows Azure libraries for .NET, and that's sort of that's pulling together these pieces that used to be kind of separate
kind
installed
of yep.
SDKs and whatever. That's part of the kind of unifying that all and sort of putting those libraries together. So now when you install this, you'll have the service bus libraries and caching stuff and whatever is sort of part of that.
One thing that I noticed that I wasn't expecting, the caching assemblies are now GACT. You may not, if you've been using caching assemblies in the past, you're probably used to them not being in the GACT. They are now in there, so just be aware of that, because when you go to, you may not actually add the references the same way and run it, everything works great, and you go to deploy and you don't have the references, so be aware of that. Watch your validation rules in Visual Studio. So.
And the last thing I wanted to mention before we turn things over to Scott is a couple things in storage that I think are interesting. We talked about some of the new features that got released in storage in the cloud back in September, and those are now also in the libraries in .NET, and so in the storage client library you have support for those things, and they're in the storage emulator.
Mm-hmm.
So the new release has an emulator that includes like updating queue messages. What are the other, I don't know, what else is in there? Sort of, there were a couple of those features that sort of came out. Bigger messages, there's also like 64K queue messages instead of 8K, whatever.
Right.
Just a few things, those things that went out now have made it into the libraries and into the emulator. And so it's a good time to look at those features again if you didn't the first time.
Great.
With that, I think we should, we'll take a short commercial break.
Yeah.
And we will switch laptops here and turn things over to Scott.
Sounds good.
All right. Cool. We'll be back right after this.
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
And we're back. So, Scott, tell us all about... We saved the coolest stuff for last, which was a lot of the enhancements to the developer experience and that stuff. I don't know. Give us your thoughts. Show us a demo. Entertain us. Why are you here after all? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
Keep us entertained.
Yeah, well, I think I was on here a couple months ago, and I think a couple things I talked about in terms of some of the things that we're doing that you'll start to see show up. First one this week, and then we have a couple of other releases coming up in the weeks ahead. Is kind of around two things. One is how do we make Azure even easier to use, and really focus on eliminating friction, having a nice clear, consistent story. And also kind of adding more coherence across the platform. And so a lot of what we did with this week's 1.6 release is take some initial steps towards that. We talked about earlier, hey, we now have one SDK that has all the packages, not just for the core Azure, but also the App Fabric pieces all integrated, supporting NuGet and moving more of our packages to NuGet so that mm-hmm. you can start with an existing project, start to Azure-fy it, and then deploy it. And then the other big kind of change that we made this week is kind of an enhancement to our tooling experience, which makes it a lot easier to mm-hmm. publish within Visual Studio yes. and kind of, again, more of a frictionless experience and some nice options there. And mm-hmm. so if you want, I can go ahead and build a simple demo
yeah,
it'd be fabulous.
And show off a few of them. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just inside VS 2010, and I'm going to create a new project. So I could create a cloud project if I wanted to create an Azure-specific project. Or one of the other things that we did, actually not as part of the 1.6 release, but actually our September release, mm-hmm. was enable you to start Azure projects now with just standard server-side .NET projects. And so I'm just going to use ASP.NET MVC 3, and we'll just call this Cloud Show. This is just standard MVC 3 project template. I'm going to create a vanilla ASP.NET MVC project, we're going to say ASP.NET MVC on Azure. We've Azure-fied it. But, more seriously, I could go in and use NuGet. I could install different packages, whether it's for Service Bus or storage or cache, mm-hmm. And easily add them to my project. When I want to go ahead and deploy it then to Azure, I can actually now just go ahead and right-click on the project, and there's a new Add Windows Azure Deployment Project option. Yep. And add that. This will go ahead and add into my solution the appropriate cloud project. And it's already wired up for me the appropriate web role reference inside there. And so if I want to, I can go ahead now and just say, let's have two VMs instead of one. I could choose the VM size, the standard project settings that if you're using Azure today, you're familiar with.
Yep.
So everything here was actually as part of the September release, just sort of going from an existing project, starting to Azure-fy it. The big piece that we've added in the 1.6 release is around deployment and updating. And so what we now support is the ability for you to right-click and hit publish and easily kind of publish it into Azure. Yep. Now, we've had this before, but generally, if you've gone through it, it's a little cumbersome. You've got to set up a lot of custom certs. You've got to copy certs around.
And we've had shows where we've shown people how to create the certificate locally, go up to the portal, load it, import your settings, and away you go.
And if you want to enable things like RDP access for terminal server, it's a different set of certs. It's a different set of steps. It's actually our number one product support question, which is how do I enable terminal server access? And then when you deploy it today with VS, or previously with VS, you always create a new service, which is kind of the longest path for deployment. We didn't support updates directly inside the IDE.
Yep.
And so we're making all that
I've gotten support questions about that, too, which say, I know that we're supposed to have these zero downtime upgrades, but every time I update from Visual Studio, it deletes the thing first and then redeploys. And so...
So now I'm going to go ahead and click publish, and I'll show off the new workflow. So this brought up the Azure publishing dialog here, and one of the things you'll notice is it's kind of a new UI, new screen flow, and one of the things we're trying to do is streamline how you get set up and connected with Azure and get your management certs all set up. And so in the past, you'd create management certs and have to upload them. You can still do that, or we've kind of enabled a new experience where all you need to do is you basically click on this link right here. It'll take you out to the Azure website. You can sign in. When you do this, we'll authenticate you against Azure, and then we'll provide for you at the bottom of your screen, if you read this text, an ability to download a publishing profile, which we're going to do right here. So we'll save as. I'm just going to stick it on my desktop for right now. It's a published settings file, and it basically includes a management cert for you to use. And if you follow the instructions, it basically says go into VS, click the import button, select the management that file you just downloaded. It's a one-time only operation.
Yep.
You don't have to do this each time. You just do it once. And then basically this now pulled in all your subscription data from Azure.
Yep.
And so now I have a Scott Goo subscription. If you have like an MSDN subscription or a pay-as-you-go or something else, it'll show up on that list.
Yep.
I can then just say, hey, for this deployment, I want to pick this, hit next. Our next wizard here, you'll notice I'd have to go to the portal and use the portal in order to create a new hosted service account. We no longer have to do that. You're never going to have to go to the portal at all for publishing inside VS. Instead, you can now create a new hosted service directly here. So we'll say Cloud Show Scott. Pick what region you want to deploy it into. I'm just going to do the South Central US region. Mm-hmm. Hit OK. This is now going off to Azure using the management cert we downloaded. It just created the hosted service for us. I can choose whether I want to do production or staging. I can choose whether it's a build or release configuration. If I choose release or build debug, it'll actually run all the web.config transforms as well. Mm-hmm. And I'll use the appropriate cloud service config file.
Yep.
And then lastly, I can go ahead and enable RDP. Again, today you just do a lot of cert management. Now just checkbox, brings up this dialog. You provide us a user and a password. You confirm. When you want it to expire, hit OK.
I like, too, that the expiration is a lot further out than it used to be.
It used to be defaulting to the current day, which was kind of a little frustrating. Now it defaults to a year out, and you can change it.
Yep.
If you want to, you can enable web deploy. There are advanced settings that you can set as well.
Yep.
But now I just hit next.
And actually, under advanced settings as well, you can also create storage accounts, right?
You can create storage accounts. If you don't already have a storage account, we'll create one for you by default. But you can also override it with whatever one you want. So again, we automate storage accounts. We automate certs.
Yep.
And all you need to do now is hit next, publish, and you're done.
Yeah, and then I want to take a second to explain the RDP thing, because I know people are familiar with... People who watch our show regularly probably know how the RDP stuff works, and today there's a certificate that's used. It's that password that we just typed in gets encrypted. It gets put in your config setting in its encrypted form, and then the cert is used on that machine at runtime to kind of decrypt it and set up the username and password and whatever. People like that because it means that they don't have the password in plain text in the config setting. And I think people may fear that the way they just watched this flow and there was no cert, Was there encryption or whatever? And the answer is yes. It actually works exactly the same way. It's just that we've automated the process of creating a certificate, encrypting with that certificate, and uploading that certificate as part of the
appropriate
place. When we deploy this package, we also upload the certificate that was used.
And at the end of the day, you want to create your own RDP certificate. There's an advanced options on that RDP the remote desktop dialog, and you can supply your own one as well.
So
still full control. But hopefully you saw it's a lot smoother. Now in the deployment, you can track the progress. We've also expanded it, so we now have much more detailed RDFE status messages. So you can see time-wise everything that's going on. We also will include both your subscription ID as well as your deployment ID in the log. So if you ever do have a problem, you can just copy and paste it in one go. This is now creating a two-instance deployment for me in Azure.
That's great.
And what's nice is if I want to go ahead and update it now, I can go and make a change, right-click, publish again. And by default, Visual Studio now defaults to doing update deployments as opposed to new deployments if the hosted service is already there.
Yep. Which is so nice. I've been doing this a lot lately, and 3 to 4 minutes for the deploy and an upgrade is just wonderful.
Yeah, so the big benefit for people who aren't familiar with the updates is your app's never down.
Yep.
So in this case here, I'm deploying two nodes. We'll basically take one down, update it, then bring the other one down, so your site's never down. And then the other benefit is perf, and so it's much, much faster to do an update versus a new deployment. And so generally what I'm seeing is about, for a brand new deployment, it's about 8 minutes with this week. And for updates, it's usually 4 minutes or less. And what we're trying to get to over the next couple of months is to get it so that new deployments are under 5 minutes and updates are under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we feel pretty confident that we'll get there for the average case and then the 95% mean case over the next couple of months. You can see here on my status message, hey, we've got two nodes now. They're starting up, and I can basically track all the progress.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
That's great. These are some exciting updates.
Yeah, and so this is the first of a bunch of updates you're going to see over the next couple weeks and months. Again, kind of this theme of how do we add more coherence, how do we make it simpler, how do we make it easier, and in particular for experienced developers, how do we take the friction out of it? And so, having to flip back and forth between the portal, having to be able to do fast updates, we hear a lot of people ask for that. You're going to see a lot more updates along those lines shortly.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, maybe it's that time then.
Yes.
Which is my favorite time of the show, which is the moments preceding the tip of the week, where we let Bob have his way with the show and put in pretty much what he does. That's I think the best way to say it, and put some little intro in. And we thought this week that we would do something goo themed.
Gooish. We recently, we had blobs. We had a blob thing.
We had a blob thing. We thought we should have a goo thing now. So that's sufficiently vague, perhaps. Yeah. All right. So
we thought of some other stuff. Well, let's see what Bob.
We'll let Bob. Yeah. Bob's more of a creative genius than we are, I think. We're better off when we leave it to Bob.
Evil creative genius.
Definitely evil. Okay. So with that, here is your tip of the week.
And we're back. So we wanted to stick with some of the updates and really take a little bit more look at the publish settings file. Because Scott mentioned that it's got the certificate in there. And we just wanted to provide a little bit more insight and reinforce some of the points that Scott made.
Let's remove some of the magic. So it's great that it's magic and you just sort of import this and everything works. But what's actually in that file? Yep. How does it happen? We can help.
So basically it's an XML file. It's actually the same format and schema that's used by web deploy settings, right? So it's actually just, I think if you take a look at the publish method, instead of, I don't actually know it as familiar with web deploy. I think it's web deploy or there's a method associated with web deploy. Mm-hmm. Here we've got one that's just Azure Service Management API as the publish method. You can see here that a URL is specified, so that's where it's going to be publishing to. You can assume that this would allow you to point to different environments as well if you had to point. Like I know internally I've pointed to a preview environment and so forth. Yep. And then we've got this management certificate, and it's a base 64 hash of a certificate plus some keys, and so some additional information. And so we wanted to reinforce that and really show what you can do with that and, basically what is Visual Studio doing behind the scenes.
Right. What happens here?
I guess it's worth pointing out to the subscription
also,
as well.
And there may be multiple ones of that. So as Scott mentioned, if you have multiple subscriptions, this file will actually include all those.
All of them.
Which is nice because then it makes it sort of easy to just import this once and then pick the subscription you want. So in this case, and in most cases, I think a lot of people probably just have one subscription. If they open up this file,
they'll just see one.
You'll see one line there, but there may actually be several in there.
Yep. And you can also edit the file. So if you ever want to remove a subscription, say you're giving this file to someone else in your team, you can do that and custom tailor it however you want.
It's worth pointing out, too, treat this file carefully, like protect it. There's a certificate in here that essentially gives you access to your services running in Windows Azure. So I wouldn't just email this thing willy-nilly and share it, but keep
treat it the same way. Yep. If you used to do this, you used to export the certificate with the private keys and and then go upload that in the portal. It's sort of that nature of sensitivity, the stuff that you, however you would treat sort of private certificates.
In general, what we recommend also is it's a one-time only thing. So in other words, once you install it, import it into VS once, it basically stores the certs into a secure key store. And so at that point, you can delete the published file settings. And on every subsequent project, you can reuse the same account. So you don't actually need to do this other than one time on the machine or every time you change your subscription list inside Azure.
Yep, very good point. So what we've got is just a very simple console app and with some code, and let's just run it and kind of show what we've got here. So in running it, I've essentially load up that publish file, and we've started to take a look at the XML and extract some information. So this information is actually coming from the certificate, that encrypted certificate, or encoded certificate, and we're able to pull some information out. So you can see I've got the friendly name, the issuer, serial number, thumbprint, and so forth. So you can actually get to this information. The next thing we wanted to show is that we could even install this and do the same thing that Visual Studio is doing and install it into the certificate manager. So I believe if I go to certmanager.msc, if I deleted it before, we'll see that this certificate is not there. So these three are different certs that I have.
Yeah,
I don't want to delete them because I do use them. So, but notice there's three here now. If I go to this next step here and refresh, you'll see that I've got a fourth, and it's got the same thumbprint that same thumbprint that we saw with the certificate that we pulled out of the publish settings file. And then Steve, to one-up me, sent some really slick code that then uses that information that we've pulled out of the certificate file and just does a call against RDFE or the Service Management API and is able to pull back all the hosted services that I have running. So it's It's really straightforward. It does look like magic from Visual Studio. I mean,
right.
it's just a
but
wonderful
process. But
there's
not process. Much there. I mean, you can open the XML file. You'll be able to read everything except
yep.
this big, long string that looks weird.
Yep.
And that's just, if you base64
yep.
decode that,
yep.
it's a PFX file.
Yep.
Like, it's just a certificate. You could save it as .pfx.
Two lines of code.
And open it up and whatever. So. Right. It's actually, or
and
one
Steve,
line of
and
code
Steve could
mine.
Write it in one line of code.
Oh,
yeah.
it's right there at the
yeah.
bottom of
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. See, I told you one upped me.
So, and that's all you need to call the service. I mean, sort of a secondary point here is kind of, if you go, we'll publish this stuff, and,
yeah.
and if you go look at the code that I'm doing, all I'm doing is calling to management.core.windows,
mm-hmm.
You know, just calling the Windows Azure Service Management API. All you have to do is set a version header and attach that certificate, and then you can call all the stuff that you
yep.
see in the REST API.
Yep.
It's actually very easy to use. So,
yeah.
So I think it would be interesting to see tools developers who are doing things with the management API also supporting the
yes.
the publish settings,
yeah.
either just as pointing me at that file or doing the install step and you know just making
yeah.
it easier
well,
for people to use.
It's worth pointing out because you can send people to the URL where you download it without having to go through Visual Studio. So
right.
So you can grab it and
so
create other workflows for doing
basically
all
the stuff we did for Visual Studio to make this really slick,
yep.
you could do with tools that you develop.
Yep.
So I know there are people who watch the show who do develop tools like that. I
know
think
our
it would be a good idea.
Our team has plans to do this to
yeah.
make samples.
I'm
going to
do that too. I have some command line tools I do, and it's a much easier way to do it than
yep.
than generating the cert locally and having to upload it.
Yep. Cool.
Awesome. So yeah. All right.
Great.
Well, Scott,
cool.
thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Always good to have you here. We will definitely have you back.
As much as we can. Yeah.
Cool.
For everybody, if you've got feedback on the show or if you've figured out what David Akin's little cryptic thing was,
definitely let us know.
Tweet to us at Cloud Cover Show. You can also, of course, hit Scott at Scott Goo. And I don't know. Until next time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for coming.